All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Yes, we do. This is our Easter one.
Yeah, this is our Easter episode.
Merry Easter.
Yeah, happy everybody. Reborn Day.
I hope you found all your eggs.
Yep, get some of them Reese's eggs.
They're the bomb. Egg flavored. Love those.
Or the fucking, what is it, the... What are those little eggs that the egg the whoppers?
Kinder eggs?
No, the Whopper eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had those?
Ah, yeah. Not a big fan.
I don't like Whoppers, but the Whopper eggs are fucking fire.
Yeah, egg flavor Whoppers. I like those. Yeah. Or grilling.
Yeah.
What else do people do in Easter?
church. Go to church.
Yep, go to church.
I'm not going to church, but
yeah,
you can go to church. But we got, we're a podcast and we got time codes in our description.
Yep.
And you know, we got different segments. We got the book, which is Reborn. We got
Not About Jesus.
Yeah, Not About Jesus, the Back Matter Matters, and the poll list. But we start with the news. We got this week, Nathan.
Not anything too crazy. But Marvel is relaunching X-Men, if you didn't know. They
I
made
sure
a big
did.
Old stink about the Krakoan era ending, and they announced pretty much what the new lineup was of X-Men titles, which is Uncanny X-Men, X-Men, and Exceptional X-Men, as well as some new stuff coming for Phoenix, X-Factor, Storm, Nyx, X-Force, and Wolverine. And it says it's all going to be beginning summer 2024. But the main X-Men title is going to be Jed McKay with Ryan Stegman, which sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
We got Exceptional X-Men with Al Ewing and... Or sorry, Eve Ewing.
Yeah.
And Carmen Carnero. I didn't even know Eve Ewing was like a writer, so... And then Uncanny X-Men with Gail Simone and David Marquez, which sounds pretty fucking cool too. So they got some hitters.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
You're going to be picking up all those?
I'm going to be picking up most of the ones that look like they have good art, because that's what does it for X-Men for me. But yeah, I'm really excited to see Ryan Stegman on X-Men.
Yeah.
He did like a big run on Inhumans, so it seems pretty natural that he'd be good at X-Men.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did Inhumans with Charles Soule. So.
Nice.
Yeah. So pretty excited to see that. David Marquez, also a pretty elite artist. So I'm just excited to see some new X-Men stuff. I think they're trying to go more status quo because of how these logos are looking like. They look like pretty typical, I would say. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. I don't really know who Nyx is as a X-Men.
Nick Fury.
Ooh, maybe. All the Nyx. but a Storm series would be pretty cool, I think. Always cool to see some X-Factor. So, yeah, seems pretty cool.
Sweet. That's called X-Men from the Ashes, like the whole event thing, I guess.
I guess so.
Not important. This is what...
Yeah, marketing says from the ashes, a new beginning. So maybe, yeah, maybe it is like an event to relaunch.
Yeah. We got a movie trailer for The Crow.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Do you know The Crow, Nathan?
I know The Crow was a comic book.
Yep.
And that's how everybody knows it.
And a bunch of movies.
Ooh, yeah.
But we care about the comic.
Have you seen those?
No.
I haven't seen any of them.
I'll probably watch like the Brandon Lee one.
Okay. That's the first one? Or the popular one?
It's the popular one.
Okay.
I think it's like the second one. But do you know about that movie?
About the actor?
Yeah.
Like dying?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like on that set?
No, don't. No, yeah, I do.
And it's like Bruce Lee's kid.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You didn't know from his last name, Lee?
I don't just assume that every Lee is a Bruce Lee. That'd be even more insane.
But yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
So I'll probably watch that.
Was he the last one to play that character? Or was,
no, there was like a ton after him.
Okay. That's what I thought.
I've never heard of any of these other movies, but I saw like a clip of like all of them. And they all look pretty much the same. So this one's got Bill Skarsgård, and he's fucking shredded.
Is he?
He looks awesome. He's got a bunch of tattoos. This crow, it's not your daddy's crow, Nathan.
He's got tattoos.
He's got like a face tattoo. He's real tough.
I saw that picture with all the weird tattoos. He's got like a nipple tattoo, isn't he? Or like his probably. Nipple plays a part of the tattoo.
Yeah.
I think. So pretty cool.
Yeah. Nathan, you know Zoe Thorogood?
Yes.
She's working on a new book called over the next year. She'll be working on it. It's called Head Trauma.
Nice.
I imagine it'll probably be coming out next year, but for some reason she posted the cover and some of the pages and stuff.
I missed
on
that.
Her story.
That's cool.
It actually might be in like her feed, but it looks neat.
Yeah. I haven't seen the cover, but based off what you saw, does it look like spooky?
It looks like slice of life.
Okay.
But it might be more than that, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So excited for that. I've been like inching along on Impending Blindness of Billy Scott.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool because yeah. I like seeing like her artwork.
Yeah. Her stuff's really good.
That one is like kind of a different style. It's more like relaxed.
Yeah. It's definitely way different than what we saw in like,
yeah.
It's Only at the Center of the Earth or.
I guess she purposely did that one more relaxed, you know, and not like her perfect kind of like style or whatever. Yeah.
Well, that was the first thing I saw from her.
Oh, okay.
And so when I went from that to It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth, mm-hmm. I was like, this is dramatically different. And then she changes her style a lot in that too. So she's got some pretty crazy range.
Yeah.
She's also an incredible horror artist.
Yeah.
And so
Hackslash is awesome.
Yeah. I still need to read it, but yeah.
Yeah. You'd love it. And then I'll probably like check out Rain, that Joe Hill thing that she did.
Yeah.
Cause that seems like that'll be up her alley too.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you got, Nathan?
Dude, I think that's everything I had.
Nathan, we got the trailer for the Acolyte. Acolyte.
Oh, yeah. The Star Wars one?
That's the Star Wars thing. I've never said that word out loud.
Acolytes. I didn't see the trailer.
Looks pretty cool, Nathan. A lot of lightsabers.
What's it about?
It's 100 years before the first episode.
Okay.
And, you know...
On a desert planet.
People are learning the Force, but there's like someone else with the Force that doesn't like that. Other people got the Force, I think.
Okay.
And that's what I picked up from it.
All right.
Sounds good. I haven't finished Ahsoka, so I feel like a fake fan, you know, but, you know, this looks cool. I'll check it out.
Yeah. I haven't finished Ahsoka either, so.
The girl who played, like, X-23 is in it.
I did see that.
You did see that?
I forget her name. I saw it just today.
I did, too, because I looked it up.
Oh, fuck.
It's a hard one because like she spells her first name weird.
It's like Cagney or something.
Maybe her last name. It's Daphne.
Daphne.
Something. It's like D-A-F.
Daphne Fernandez or Daphne Keen Fernandez.
Keen. Daphne Keen.
Daphne Keen.
Sick. So that'd be cool. That comes out at a certain point. June 4th.
Nice.
Maybe we'll read a Star Wars comic. I don't know.
That would be cool. I like that.
We'll see.
Some pretty cool stuff. There was...
Did you look up news?
No, I just remembered I saw news, but I didn't screenshot it because I didn't know much about it. But there was like a story trailer for a new Marvel video game coming out.
Marvel 1943. Nathan.
Yes. And it's going to have... It's the...
Rise of Hydra.
It's the Captain America Black Panther game.
Yeah.
About the Rise of Hydra. So that's pretty cool. Apparently, it's got the writer of the Uncharted games on that. And that's those are cool. Pretty like popular like story-based games.
It looks neat because it doesn't look like a buddy cop kind of thing. It's like they are both trying to do shit but get in each other's way.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder why Black Panther was there.
I didn't really listen that closely.
Yeah, I was watching
when I wasn't supposed to be.
Okay, yeah. Makes sense.
But yeah, it looks cool coming in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Before you got here, I was playing the Guardians of the Galaxy game.
Oh, nice.
And it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Like, I played for like 10 minutes or something, but I'm like, I love this game.
Did you go into a big group huddle and you're like, yeah, we could all do it?
No, not even at that part yet.
Oh, okay.
I haven't even played with everybody.
It's like a mechanic that's part of the game that I think is kind of like corny but fun at the same time.
I just like places that have like maps that aren't just a straight road of where you're supposed to go. You can like veer off here a little bit and like find shit.
Open world.
It's not, well, I don't think this is open world, but like at least it's not like so like a trail that's so obvious, you know, because I don't know what I'm picking up, but I'm like, fuck yeah, I found something, you know.
I was so happy when I saw the Chip Zdarsky like suit.
Oh, yeah.
The one that was created by him and
Chris Anka.
Thank you.
The only thing I found is like the Rocket Raccoon like 2014 movie, like like the jumpsuit from the jail.
That's cool.
I have that. So yeah, like It's just like the very simple game mechanics I'm a fan of.
Yeah, that's good.
And then last thing I got, Nathan, Omnibus is officially on iPhone.
Yeah, you got it. You got some sort of early access thing before, I guess. So did they update it? Is it like better now?
It looked the same. It didn't say that it updated.
Oh, okay.
I think my apps might automatically update, but yeah, it's official now.
This is good news because probably what's next on the roadmap is stuff that's not Apple. Hopefully Android
support. The other, as people would say.
Just as good.
I like Omnibus because they prioritize what's important. You know?
Dude, you've only had an iPhone for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Maybe even less. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Not going back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the news. Nathan, what book did we read?
Dana, we read Reborn.
We sure did.
By Mark Miller, Greg Capullo, Jonathan Glapien did the inks for it. There's a colorist whose name I don't really know how to pronounce, but it's like FCO.
They call him like FCO, but that's just short for Francisco.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah, FCO did the colors, and I don't know who did letterings.
Nate Picos.
Oh, there he is.
And he did like the designs, so I think he
did all
that other cool shit.
Yeah. This book bangs, dude.
Did you like it? Yeah. Did you read this before?
Yeah, I've read it all before.
Really? Okay.
But I enjoyed it more the second time, I think.
Really? I did not have that experience.
Really?
Yeah, because I think I hyped this book up because I like gave it to like Mike.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm like, dude, you got to read this. And then he like damaged one of them.
He did?
Yeah, but he replaced it.
Oh, wow.
Which is fine. So, he's like, I felt bad, so I got you another one. I'm like, you should feel bad and you did the right thing.
Yeah.
So...
what was it? I think what I do...
So it's got like kick-ass art, right?
Yeah.
It's just like I just remember some of the things that happened hit harder the first time I read it, you know, and we'll get to that. But yeah. Like, I guess when I was just a wee lad,
mm-hmm.
you know, when this came out and very young in my comics reading experience.
Yep.
To where when I read this, I'm like, oh, this is so cool. And now I just feel like it blends into a lot of the stuff that I've read, I guess.
Okay.
But not a very good explanation, but it does have kick-ass art, mm-hmm. and the designs of like the monsters and shit are really sick.
Yep.
I like the pacing. It's like the Mark Miller pacing.
Yeah, I think it's very bingeable, which is good. I think a lot of his stuff is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also like a pretty simple idea that feels like it has a lot to get creative with,
mm-hmm.
which is cool.
There's definitely a lot of room.
But I have some questions.
Okay.
And
you can ask them right now or
not
like
right now
as we go.
Okay. I don't even remember them. I wrote them down at some point, but I like it. I think it's just, it leaves a lot of room to be creative. I do know that they were planning on having like 5 volumes of this at some point.
Dude.
And then they also talked about like a TV show or something.
They're talking about like a board game and
a
shit.
Board game. And I mean, at the time I was like, okay,
when
cool.
it came out, I was like, oh, another one's coming soon. And it says like end of book one. I'm like, more is coming. But what was this like 5 years ago?
It must have been, yeah, probably like 5 years ago.
So, yeah, the concept overall is really sick. You know, I like what the story is, but mm-hmm. I guess like just how things played out wasn't that exciting to me, you know?
Yeah.
And
for 7 issues, it feels like they cover as much ground as like 5.
Isn't it 6?
Or, yeah, 6 issues, sorry.
Yeah.
It was like a double size last one.
It does, but I like more check marks, mm-hmm. you know, rather than like longer issues.
Yeah. So was this the thing that Greg did right after Batman?
Yeah, this is like the first thing.
Okay. And that's a pretty good follow up, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a Mark Miller book.
Well, he also went back to Batman doing like the metal stuff.
Yeah, but I think it was this and then he went back with Scott to do metal.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that sound right?
Yeah.
And I think he just did that a bunch.
Yeah, so he did a bunch of that shit.
Until now where he's at Marvel doing something.
I've just seen that cover on Wolverine that he did.
No,
it.
He keeps posting stuff. And
really? I haven't been looking that closely.
It must be...
He's going to Comic-Con.
We can ask him.
Yeah. Oh, so is Derek Robertson. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
Did you meet him last time he came?
I met him at Samurai Comics on Free Comic Book Day.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I haven't met him, so that's a cool thing.
Yeah, he's really nice.
Nice.
I think I told this on the podcast, but I didn't know they had to like pay for signatures, and he was like making people pay for signatures, and he told me that, and I was like, oh, okay. But we were like talking anyway,
mm-hmm.
and then the guy that was like right next to me left, and he was like, "I'll sign your shit," I just didn't want to sign your shit for free because I made him pay. And I was like, wow, what a guy. And I was like, yeah.
I guess how it works is like artists and writers and stuff will be like kind of like sponsored almost and pay for like tables at Comic-Con and stuff. And so they have to like charge for signing so that those sponsors get their money back. I'm or
cool
something. With
that. But yeah. I was just going to the comic shop and I was like, oh, it'll be there. So that's cool. And I was going to go get like money and I'll be like, yeah, I'll just come back. There's like an ATM like right outside. So yeah. I told him that, but he was like, I'll just sign it anyway. You're good. And I was like, what a guy. And then I bought the third issue of his Constantine run and I haven't ordered the first two yet. So,
anyway,
issue one, Daniel.
I feel like there hasn't been a lot of books that you liked and I wasn't like as excited about, you know, like I feel like
Blue and Gold.
That was the last one, probably.
Yeah, probably.
And that was a minute ago.
Yeah, so it opens up with like a sniper on a rooftop taking out a bunch of civilians, including an old man named Harry. But when Harry wakes up, he's in a younger body in like some mysterious land, and there's like a war that's like just starting. And
is this like the bloodiest Greg Capullo?
I was about to say, like, I forgot that Greg is like good at blood.
Yeah,
like
violence and shit.
He probably displayed that a lot when he was on like Spawn.
Yeah.
He did like 100+ issues of Spawn in a row. So like this is probably something he's very used to, but I just like, but it's also kind of like a statement because he's like, this ain't your fucking Batman comic, you know? This is like, I'm doing some blood and shit.
This isn't your T for teen.
Yeah, book. Exactly. So I was like, fuck yeah, this is a good start.
Yeah, he probably had to hold back like so much when it came to Batman.
Oh, I know.
Because I don't remember drop of blood in that book.
Yeah, but he's getting into some brawls in that book. So hell, it's like, yeah. The wife of that old man named Bonnie is still living, but kind of at the end of her time. And she's afraid of a stroke happening sort of at any time. She's talking to her like granddaughter about it. But one night she does have a stroke and is sort of like remembering her life as she's being like rushed to like an operating room type thing. And you know, how happy her husband made her and what Harry meant to her and stuff, but ultimately passes away while she's being operated on. And we see, this is like probably one of my favorite pages Greg's ever done, is just like this memory chandelier sort of crashing on her as she's dying. It's very unique. It's a good composition.
Real quick.
What's up?
I have no room to like critique like
okay.
Greg Capullo.
But continue.
But the wrinkles on this old lady is kind of jarring.
Okay, I've thought about that, and I think that's a Jonathan Glapion
the thing. Inking?
The inker, yeah.
I could see that.
Because she looks like Leatherface or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know,
she looks like Scarecrow or something.
Yeah, she does.
But yeah, so that should have been like colored and not like black lines for inks, you know?
But he loves to do that shit, Jonathan Glapion.
Yeah,
but yeah, I agree. I feel like it's like a little bit distracting.
Okay, so not Greg.
Uh huh.
It's all in John. They were all at Comic Con. I should have like been like, what was that about?
I was like, what is this? What is this horror icon that you've designed? But no, I agree. As soon as I saw her, I was like, Jesus.
But there's not like a lot of her.
No,
like that,
yeah.
So
Bonnie wakes up also in a young body in a strange land that's also like right in the middle of a war. And when the bad guys see that it's Bonnie, they freak out and they start to retreat. And Bonnie finds out that they think of her as like the savior of Adistria. And they've been waiting for her, but like specifically her, like Bonnie, including her dad, who is a warrior here, which is pretty cool. Her dad was dead on Earth, but is alive here and is a cool warrior.
There's a band called Adistria.
Really?
They're really fucking cool.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah,
check them out.
That's cool.
They only have like one album, I think.
But maybe that was also part of like Mark Miller's plans for like this book. Is just like, steal creating a metal band.
Because like I saw that, I'm like, good band name. I'm like, wait.
I'll have to check them out.
It's a good band.
Dude, maybe Greg could like, dude, I didn't know that Greg did fucking like album cover art. Did you see that?
Oh, he did like, Korn.
He did Korn, Disturbed. And Five Finger Death Punch.
Fuck yeah.
And I was like, I've seen all of these album like covers. And it like totally looks like Greg.
Did he do Freak on a Leash?
No, it's like Approaching the Edge or something. I think that's what the album is called.
Is that like the hopscotch thing?
It's the hopscotch one.
He did that?
Yeah.
That's fucking iconic.
Isn't that insane?
That's so fucking cool.
Because it like I never would have like pieced those two together.
And I like that he's like a metal person.
Yeah,
too,
totally.
Know?
And
he
like
plays guitar and shit.
Disturbed. Pretty fucking huge as well, and like their cover the biggest, art like, totally looks like his art, you know?
Yeah,
it's just cool because I know I like when comic artists are commissioned for that shit. Because like Mike Allred did like The Monkees or something.
The Monkees?
Yeah, like K-E-E-S. It's like, I think it's some European band. But I was like, one of their albums is just Mike Allred art.
I see Jock do like movie posters like all the time.
Yeah.
He does like indie movie posters. Dude, I
love drawn movie posters.
So sweet.
More and more now. Just so cool.
They're like, you know, Photoshopped or whatever, or like colored to look like normal movie posters. Yeah. But like with him doing like the pencils and stuff, it's super pretty much.
Yeah.
What a cool job.
Mm-hmm.
I love how in this world, there's kind of like somewhat of a balance of like sci-fi and fantasy, because there's like spaceships in this.
Yeah.
And they're really cool design.
Yeah. I'd say like it's perfectly his style. Like it's like a dark fantasy, I would say, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or like dark sci-fi fantasy. But he nails it. Like he's really good at doing dragons, but he's also really good at like drawing people with like axes and shit and like lasers. So it's like, it's all shit that feels like he's playing to his strengths.
Yeah.
But I think he's just goated. Like, I think you could have given him a comic about like a soccer game or something, and it would be like the coolest fucking comic of all time. So I don't know.
Yeah, he is great when he's able to just kind of design his own shit, you know. Mm-hmm. Even stuff that's like designed already that he's like Batman or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He does really well with.
Yeah.
But it's actually more like 70% fantasy stuff and 30% sci-fi. I think I would have preferred like a 50-50, but
yeah.
Still pretty cool.
Yeah, because I feel like the people that Bonnie like sides with in this, they have more fantasy based things, and it feels like the bad guys have some more science involved in what they're doing. So
yeah.
I agree. I feel like it could have been a little bit more balanced, but yeah, that's cool. She's, you know, talking to her dad, who's like this weird warrior dude.
Mm-hmm.
In like this page where he's like in battle and he's got like his axe that he's like jumping in, I'm just like, this is fucking, this shit rocks. So issue two.
Nathan,
what?
You forgot to mention.
What did I forget?
That not only is her dad there,
but her dog.
But her dog, Roy Boy.
Roy Boy. What a sick name for a dog.
Great name for a dog. And he's like a big ass wolf.
He's got armor.
Yeah, he's like Twilight wolf size, and he's got armor on him.
Yeah.
And a nice little saddle.
He's so cute.
Yeah, he's the best character.
Mm-hmm. By far. Issue two, Bonnie learns more about Adistria. Is that how you say it? How did you say it before?
Adistria is probably how it's pronounced. The band I'm talking about is Adestrio, and so instead of a Y, it's an E.
Oh, okay.
So
they didn't completely rip it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He's worried about copying, so he changed a few things.
He copied the homework, but changed a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically when people die on Earth, they are reborn at different ages on, you know, Adistria or part of the Badlands, depending on, you know, if they are good or bad on Earth. So if they're bad, they're born on the dark side. If they're good, they're born in Adistria. And she knows some people there, but still hasn't found her mom or her husband, Harry. And the dog, of course, Roy Boy is there, which I think is just a really nice thought, because like it's cool that like animals show up there too. But one of my questions is like, do all animals show up there? Like, because there we see like elephants.
All dogs go to heaven.
All dogs go. This is pretty much heaven. Yeah.
All dogs go to Adistria.
But like, if like a giraffe dies in like Africa, is he showing up here?
So they said
as like
that
a cool giraffe or something.
They said like Earth is like, or this place is like 10 times bigger than Earth.
Yes.
So they could be fucking anywhere.
Yeah. One small thing, and it's not even like that big of a deal, but like they say that this place is 10 times bigger than Earth. But it feels like they can get to wherever they need to go pretty quickly.
Yeah, you think they'd be on like opposite ends of this Earth?
Yeah, but they can like hell. They could like point to where the Badlands are, and it's like, that's the bad tower we need
don't
to go
over
to.
There.
And it's like 3 miles away. Like you could
throw a baseball at that shit.
Yeah. Wherever they need to go, like the furthest they walk is like 2 days, I think. So
yeah.
Also, it's like kind of convenient that she like knows so many people. And like this is a 10 times bigger Earth, you know?
Yeah, but you remember me? You played soccer together or whatever.
Yeah, and she's
in
like
the fourth grade.
Yeah, it's crazy. So Bonnie convinces her dad to go search for Harry before she, you know, pursues her responsibilities of being like the chosen one or whatever. And so they go to the fairy kingdom, where Bonnie's best friend is a fairy, but because she was super religious on Earth, like the view of just everything that she practiced as a religious woman is like tainted, and now she just doesn't want to help and or do anything really. So she kind of just like pushes them away.
And she's like giant. She's like a giant fairy queen.
Giant fairy. Yeah.
And she lives in this cool, like, tree city.
Yeah, I think a big part of what sells, like, fantasy books for me, because I'm not typically too crazy about it, is, like, the interesting environments yeah. and, like, creatures and shit. Because this is, like, kind of an interesting design, because it's, like, a little city on top of, like, a big tree stump. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. I wonder what the logistics there are, you know? And yeah. I just, it's fun to, like, think about.
Because, like, later we see that as they're, like, you know, traveling along, going to the Badlands or whatever. What's it called?
The Badlands, yeah.
Badlands. There's, like, these two, like, beasts that are just ramming against each other.
Yeah.
And they both have cities on their backs. Mm-hmm. I'm like, get out of here.
Like, I'm like, look, take me there, you know?
That's where it's, like, real cheap to live. You just got to be, like...
Yeah.
You got to drill all your furniture into the ground.
Or, like, are there people that get reborn and they're just, like, really small? Like, I mean, like, these fairies are, like, pretty small, but, like, yeah. are they even, like, smaller than that?
Maybe.
But I also like that your personality on Earth affects how you get reborn, because it makes it feel like the stuff that you do on Earth isn't for nothing, because you're yeah. just going to be reborn here anyway. So I think that's kind of cool.
Like, if you're a better person, you're just stronger, yeah, which is cool. Yeah. I'm like, I like that.
Yeah, that's cool. Because then...
But also, like, if you're super duper shitty, like the villain in this, he's like the strongest in with bad power or whatever. Yes,
and I have questions about that, because he does not look like, unless he looked like that as a person on Earth, you know, why does he get reborn as like a big devil man?
Because he's a bad guy, and so maybe bad, if you're like, you turn ugly.
I mean, yeah, because I think most of like the Badlands army looks pretty ugly. You yeah. know, so maybe if like,
because they're ugly people.
If you're ugly on the inside, you get reborn ugly.
On the outside.
So anyway, in the Darklands, we see, you know, the big bad Golgotha. Golgotha?
I think Golgotha rolls off the tongue, but it might be Golgotha.
I think Golgotha is probably what it is.
It's a dumb name.
He's like their leader, who finds out from General Frost, which is Bonnie's old cat, that Bonnie has arrived. And General Frost wants revenge because he was neutered by Bonnie. And that's his whole arc. And I think that's maybe the funniest line in any Mark Miller book.
Absolutely.
Because he's like, my testicles were removed when I was 9 months old. And he's like this cool looking cat dude, you know?
And he's so menacing looking in that panel.
Yeah, because it's like, I was her pet in the old world. She caused me a lot of pain. My testicles were removed. So I think like inadvertently, I know he probably knows it's silly, but it's probably like the funniest thing he's written.
I think Golgotha is like probably the scariest thing that Greg Capullo is probably designed. I think
it's the most Greg Capullo design I've ever
Absolutely,
seen.
Absolutely, yeah. It's super fucking metal.
Yeah, it's so
He's
sick.
Like a dude that bathes in, like, blood of his enemies, you know?
The biggest horns he ever seen.
Yeah.
Like doomsday teeth. He's got, like, spikes on his spine. Like, he's so cool.
What, you know what? You don't really see the spikes on his spine until, like, later. Like, the last issue. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that was just kind of unnecessary.
I just think it's cool, yeah.
We didn't even need that.
If
you know?
Anybody tries to, like, you know, do a piggyback on him, they're going to regret
no,
it.
Sir.
Yeah. So issue 3. While Bonnie and her dad continue their journey, they avoid some dragons and they get ambushed by some Badlands men. Bonnie's dog, Roy Boy, gets thrown off a cliff, and Bonnie doesn't have her fighting skills yet, which is
bad
like a
book.
Thing. Bad book. we got
bad Roy Boy.
We barely knew Roy Boy, and you just throw him off a cliff? Come on.
Yeah.
So, and then also Bonnie, like, doesn't have her fighting skills yet. Apparently, like, when you get reborn, you'll have some skills or something that develop over time.
Yeah.
And it's a little lame, but they explain it, so it's fine. This lionhead dragon's kind of weird.
I thought it was a cool design. I'm like, it's just ridiculous.
I think, like, it doesn't really work that well. Because it's like, got this big lion's mane, and then it just goes to dragon.
And then the lion's mane, it, like, continues
to
on
the
neck.
And I'm like, okay.
I kind of fuck with it.
I thought it was the weirdest design choice. But, like, what was that thing before? Was it a lion before?
It could have just been, like, a person. You know, like,
who's
really
to
say,
person.
Who's to say you always are resurrected as, like, a human, you know?
Yeah. I wrote down Roy Boy got thrown out, like, in Point Break. Remember that movie?
Point Break? You've seen Point Break?
No, but I've seen a clip where Keanu Reeves, like, kicks a dog off a cliff that was, like, trying to attack him.
What the fuck?
And I tried to Google movie where dog is thrown off cliff.
And
because
did,
I couldn't.
Did
I thought,
Anchorman come up?
No, but that is funny. That's a funny scene. It's a stuffed animal. It's very clear, you know, what they're doing.
It's about what happens, you know?
Yeah. Was it Jack Black that did that?
Yeah. He kicks
Ron Burgundy's dog. This? And he fucking throws it.
No,
and
I think he, like, punched the dog.
I think it was punting. But anyway, I tried Googling that because I couldn't remember if it was called, like, Speed or whatever. It's called Point Break. But when I Googled movie where dog is thrown off cliff, I then got the trailer for the live action Clifford the Big Red Dog movie.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, what the fuck happens in this movie?
But who kicks Clifford?
I know. I was like, who threw Clifford off a cliff? But I think it was because dog and cliff, it just came up with Clifford.
You gotta put
but
at that, first I you was, gotta put that phrase in parentheses. So yeah, it's exactly that.
But yeah, so then when that came up, I was like, this is an intense movie, apparently.
Is that why he's red?
Yeah. So they're taken hostage, both Bonnie and her dad, at Il Mago's quarter. And they're brought to, like, the gang leader there, who calls General Frost to come, like, collect that sort of bounty. The dad rips up the posts that they were chained to, and they, like, dive out the window, and it, like, you know, the post breaks their fall.
Yeah, they, like, the chains were enchanted to where they couldn't be broken, so he just tears this, like, pole out of the ground.
Which is pretty cool.
Which I feel like would rip up, what's her name?
Bonnie.
Bonnie. Because, like, if he's, like, pulling, it's pulling on her.
Yeah.
You know?
She's taking a brunt of that force, for sure.
For sure. Well, all of it, because that's also moving the stump, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I'll suspend my disbelief.
Yeah.
But, dude, fucking General Frost's, like, ride is so sick.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
I was like, that's hard.
Look, I was like,
it's all, like, chrome looking.
And you know that, like, Greg just did this in, like, 5 minutes, you know? But, it fits so well. He's got such a natural...
Looks like a shoe.
Yeah, he's got, like, such a natural sense for, like, how to make things cool.
Yeah.
And so they dive out the window, it breaks the post, they're, like, kind of out of the chains, and as they're trying to escape, they get, like, cornered, and they go into some dude's magic cloak thing, thinking that it's an escape, but they just end up in Il Mago, like, dungeon prison instead.
Why the fuck would you trust that guy?
I don't think they had another option.
That, I get it, but, like...
And so it's, like, this is, like, our best, you know, course of action for right now. And I think this is a really... like, dope prison setting, because it feels like Alcatraz, but, like, way harder to escape, you know, because it's like a prison on, like, a floating rock in, like, just some weird cosmos.
Yeah.
And I think that's really fucking cool.
And the Statue of Liberty's there for some reason.
Yeah. And then there's also, like, a big dude that's, like, about to come beat him up.
A big ass troll, dude.
And so that's why I think, like, if you're a really bad person, like, you just show up kind of like this.
That's a heavy metal troll right there, dude. Yeah. He's got, like, spikes and shit.
In a past life, he was probably, like, you know...
Gene Simmons.
That would be cool. Yeah. In a past life, he was probably, like, some gangster, like, bouncer or some shit.
Yeah, he's the muscle.
Yeah. So pretty cool. So issue four...
In issue four, we realize that there are guns in this world.
Yes.
There's, like, blaster AKs.
Pretty cool. We haven't seen them until this point.
Because, like, there's just, like, a lot of axes and swords up to this point.
Yeah.
And then...
There's been some guns.
I guess.
Not as, like, on the nose to, like, an M4 as this is, or an AK, but...
Yeah.
So, yeah. While they're cornered, Bonnie, like, has some of her fighting skills activated, which allows her to pretty much fight her way out in, like, this big, like, really cool action scene, honestly.
Mm.
But she releases the prisoners that were stuck in this dungeon, trying to convince them to help her escape. But they all just start fighting Bonnie out of fear of Il Mago, the person that, like, owns this jurisdiction. And so, basically, Bonnie and her dad are captured again. My question, and this is just... very nitpicky, but I just thought of it. She releases all those people in the dungeon. How does she know what, like, the passcode is, or, like, how to use this technology?
Oh, is it like a...
It's like a little, like, keypad thing on the wall that she just, like, types something into and it releases all the dungeon cells.
Maybe it's just a button and, like, whatever you press, like, opens it.
Yeah, maybe it's a very intuitive design, you know, but yeah. I just saw her go up. It seems like she interacted with something and just, you know, frees everybody.
Right.
So they're taken to Black Wish Mountain to be executed by Ruby, who is the Empress of the Stars. And so if she, like, murders them here, it converts them into a wish that she can use, but...
There's a lot of tell, not show in this issue.
Yeah, there is.
And I was like, come on.
And then apparently, like, Ruby is someone from Bonnie's school that she just didn't like, and now she's just, like, this crazy, I don't know, mob boss type deal, but But Ruby and her men are killed when General Frost shows up and freezes everyone.
Real quick.
Except for Bonnie and her dad.
So Ruby, bad person. Yeah. He's married to Ilmago.
Cool design, though, I want to say.
Yeah, they're both... She looks like something out of, like, Hellraiser. Like, the new Hellraiser. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, or, like, this is like a Dark Souls, like, boss.
Ilmago is pretty cool.
What? Which one is Ilmago?
The one that's, like, right behind her.
Is it, like, this guy?
With the horns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The next page...
They really seem to hype him up for him to, like, get really no play.
Yeah, he's got, like, a whole territory, and then it doesn't matter.
I feel like Ruby should have the territory, because she looks like someone that you don't fuck with.
Yeah.
Ilmago kind of looks like a goon.
Sure.
So. But he's cool looking.
This is probably one of the dumbest lines that I've read in a Mark Miller book.
Okay, let's hear it.
So he's like, that's Ruby, Empress of the Stars. They got married last year and celebrated by burning 1,000 babies in a bonfire.
Yeah.
She's a nasty piece of work. I'm like, what? Like, we didn't, like, need that. They look pretty fucking
Bonnie
evil.
Needs it.
I guess. But, like, oh, this is how serious they are. They burned some babies.
They're burning babies over here.
It was just so fucking dumb.
It is a little bit,
that,
like,
adds nothing.
It does feel like he's trying a little bit too hard to be like, you don't want to fuck with this person.
It's crazy, yeah. I don't know. I was just like, oh, so dumb.
That's valid.
I was like, that like took me out of it. I'm like, I was having a good time. I'm like, what is that?
I was having a good time. But, I didn't even think about that.
But anyway, General Frost has, like, you know, Frozone powers. He just freezes a bunch of people.
Yeah, and he, like, uses a sword to, you know,
he has
smash them to pieces.
He has Bonnie's sword because they took it or whatever, and that's, like, the sword that's, like, meant for her or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good sword. I don't know.
So Bonnie realizes that they are on the Black Wish Mountains, and she wishes for everyone to be dead, which kills General Frost and all of his men with, like, spike things that come from the sky.
Yeah, because you can't make good wishes there. You can only make bad wishes.
Like, negative wishes.
So why did they take her there? Were they going to just wish her to be dead or something?
I think they had to take her there in order to convert her into a wish.
Oh, yeah, because I...
Because Ruby was going to convert them into a wish. And I think... I don't think they even explicitly said that had to be there. But I assume that that's part of the process. Because why take them there anyway?
Yeah.
So...
Whatever.
So, yeah. Her cat is dead again. Golgotha eventually hears
just
about...
Just say however it comes naturally. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Golgotha eventually hears about this, but he doesn't really care. He's still focused on filling up his pool of... with a bunch of blood, which I guess would create...
For his baths,
but it also creates a portal to Earth if he gets enough blood in there.
Yeah, he lives in this, like, Eye of Sauron-looking tower in the Darklands.
And also, he's having sex with that lion dragon from earlier, and I don't really know how that works.
Hell yeah.
Also...
I was like, this is so fucking dumb.
It is dumb. Kind of cool, but it's dumb. It's very, like, donkey.
I wish to make love to my... over Mathia or whatever.
It's very donkey and the dragon feeling.
Yeah.
But, like, my question is, like, was that a person before? Because if that was, like, an animal, like a really bad animal, maybe.
Bestiality.
He's just having sex with an animal. I mean, he is already.
Doesn't it talk later?
I think it does talk.
But anyway, this like dragon thing is, like, ready for him.
Yeah.
She's like posted up.
She's like, yeah, she's gonna,
she's getting the bed warm.
She's licking her lips.
Oh God. She's gonna eat him up.
So stupid, but I love it. Oh my gosh. Okay. So issue 5, they keep making their way through the Badlands back to Adistria. Roy Boy shows up, which means that he survived the fall, and he comes back with good news saying they found Roy Boy. Harry in some town. Yeah, Roy Boy. So not a bad book anymore. Thank God he survived. But yeah, he said he found Harry in some town, and so they go on their way to find him.
Bonnie asks, like, her dad, he's like, do you think Mom might be Golgotha or whatever? Yeah. And he's like, don't talk like that.
Like, how fucking dare you?
I'm like, it might be.
That is
I'm like, Harry might be Golgotha.
It seems like that's probably a plot line for, like, a book 2 of this, because we don't ever really touch on that.
Yeah, the mom part never comes back.
Yeah.
They don't really talk about it again.
I love all the effort that's put into just, like, these background, like, creatures. You talked about some of them have, like, cities on their backs, but, yeah, like, they're just crossing this bridge, and it's very clearly a page for Greg to just cash out later on, like, the pencils, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still So cool looking. Like, there's like fighter jet looking things that are here.
This six arm dude who's like some sort of like hippie wizard or whatever. He's got like tattoos. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, that guy's awesome.
That's cool. There's like a robot under some snow. What is that about? You know?
Yeah, and he's got like little foxes.
So much fun, like visual elements of the world where I'm like, what's that guy's story? You know, like what happened here?
Yeah.
So I think that's what part of what makes this like a fun fantasy book for me.
Just random ass shit.
Yeah, I like random shit like that. It's like, what the fuck happened there? I mean, like Star Wars,
it's like like there's a fantasy dartboard and like a sci-fi dartboard, and he's like, wow, what we got?
Big robot in the snow, you know? Or it'll be like a weird shaman dude with six arms, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, like, if you think about it, I think part of what was able to breathe so much life into Star Wars, just like all these like random aliens at the cantina or like everything you'd see in the background that they don't really expand on.
Yeah.
But it's fun to think about what that might be. And I think that helps some of that context.
Yeah. I feel like that it was something so specific that they're able to nail in that movie, like just kind of like Star Wars-y, like aliens. Yeah.
Because you just recently rewatched it.
Yeah. And like, they all seem like they belonged there, you know, and then none of them were really like out of place, you know, no. But then like they have like these newer ones where they try to have like newer designed aliens. And I'm like, what is that? You know? And I'm like, that doesn't feel Star Wars-y, you know?
Yeah. But it's hard. Cause you don't want to just do more of the same. You don't want more Tusken Raiders, you know, just kind of doing whatever. Like,
yeah,
it's recognizable. Sure. But like you want,
it's like one
newer
of those
feeling things.
It's
I
like
guess.
One of those problems I bitch about that I don't have a solution for, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know about that, you know?
Yeah, because it's hard, I'm sure. Like, one of the ones where I was like, what is this? Is like, remember in The Mandalorian, there's that, like, frog lady?
Yeah.
Or lizard lady? I can't remember what she looked like. It was a frog, yeah. And I was like, this is just frog. You know, is that really Star Wars-y?
Yeah, it seemed more like...
just, like, make a frog lady.
Like Saga or something.
And I think I only remember it because she looks like a fucking frog. And I'm like, get her out of here.
I hate this episode. Yeah.
And that episode.
She's, like, reunited, like, her frog husband.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah.
And they're on the frog world or whatever. You're like, can I skip this? Is it important?
I'm like, when did this become a horror show?
I need a summary YouTube video.
Yeah. So when Bonnie and Dad get to Harry's town, they realize that they got there a little bit too late because the lion dragon that fucks Golgotha came here, took Harry and the rest of the souls that they needed to make his blood portal.
Yeah.
And they made the demand to face, to have Bonnie face Golgotha alone. And then Bonnie realizes that Harry remarried over here 9 years ago and had two kids.
Two?
And Bonnie is like, well, that sucks, but it makes sense, and I guess I'll still help anyway. So that's very nice of her.
Yeah, and then she like talks to the kids and just reassures them that she's bringing them back.
Yeah, which
I'm
is
like,
nice.
I wouldn't be so sure. You don't know what this dude's about, you know?
Right. And I think this is very interesting because it's kind of a cool twist to be like, Harry would not know when Bonnie's gonna die, where she's gonna turn up when she dies.
Yeah, how
so, like,
to be.
I'm sure there's like a big population of people that are like waiting for their wives or husbands or whatever. But like, imagine like you die first and then you're like, I'm gonna wait for my significant other, and then they turn up evil. Like something in like that time between when you died and when she dies, she's like evil. And that's kind of interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the weirdest part is like, you have kids on this earth, which means that they are on Adestria, which means that they weren't on earth before. And it seems like talking about your past life on earth is like a big part of like your culture or whatever here. And so they just like don't have that.
So are these kids even real?
Are they even like, I guess not. Like if they die, do they go to earth? You know, like what is that?
Well, we just know this is where you go when you die.
Yeah.
You know? So
they're born here.
There could be another place when you die from here, you know?
I think they hinted at that a little bit.
Which is like, it's almost like there's too much opportunity in this world to do shit. Like there could be 100 issues of this shit.
Yeah, I'm just fleshing out like kind of just the weird rules of the world, and you don't even need to really flesh them out. But
yeah,
it's
not
like,
even like explain everything. Just kind of all the story possibilities. There's a lot of room for that.
Yeah, but if I was these kids, I would hate. You know, we kind of hate already hearing like back in my day. You know, imagine hearing like back on fucking Earth. You know, like a place you'll never ever go to in your life. You know.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. But yeah, I think one of the appeals of this is like you don't know when your partner is going to die or even spawn near you because this is like a 10x Earth. Or apparently they get reborn at different ages. Because I think your dad said that he was reborn at like 3 years old.
Yeah.
So like if your partner gets reborn and they're 3 years old, this is weird now.
You know what? I think it was a good move by Harry. So
what?
He gets remarried, right?
Yeah.
But I think like his new wife is like equally as hot as his old wife.
For sure.
You know, because you don't want to like downgrade or anything. But you also don't want to, you don't want to date someone hotter.
Because Bonnie feel like feels bad.
Bonnie would get more mad, you know? Like, this is basically you cheating, you know?
Yeah.
In heaven, like in the afterlife, you know?
I like his new wife a little bit more. If I'm gonna...
I favor her a little bit more.
Yeah, it's just very... It creates like a very interesting dynamic to just hear people talk for a little bit.
Yeah, but... no, and it's not just like everything goes well for the antagonist or protagonist.
Because now she has to be like, you know.
Do I want to save this dude?
This was my motivation at first, but like now there's like a bigger, I guess I could just like focus on the bigger, you know, cause of everything now.
Yeah.
It's cool. I like it.
Focus on my purpose or whatever.
So yeah, Harry... Then we see like Harry as a prisoner in the Badlands. He talks to Golgotha and finds out that Golgotha was the sniper that killed Harry in the first place.
Wow.
Which is a big twist. Because like the whole time you're like, Bonnie seems to know like everybody. So I wonder who this dude was. And it's probably not very hard to guess. But it would be funny if it was just like, I'm Hitler. You know?
Yeah, that'd be funny. How many people did he kill? 28 in a row.
Yeah. So in issue 6, we see Harry's killer kill 28 people and then shoot himself to become Golgotha.
Sorry, hold on. To backpedal a little bit. There's like a weird panel that I feel like, or like a caption that just like didn't even need to be in here. Like
in issue 6?
The one before in 5.
Oh, 5.
So Bonnie's like walking with her dad or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like telling him how he like has a period again. How she's got a period again.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know. It was just I think
that's fine.
It's fine, but it's just like weird.
That's weird.
It was brought up.
Yeah.
You know, and like it could just be like left out.
I mean, her dad could have been like, yeah, I got my nuts again.
Or I feel like
I get my meat hard again.
I feel like Mark's just like, I know how girls work, you know?
Yeah, true.
But like, I guess it kind of makes sense because then she starts talking about how,
like, she feels so young.
How she can like have babies here.
Yeah.
Like with Harry. But then she found out that he's already doing that. Harry gets bitches.
So then here's another question. You and your significant other die. You find each other. You have more babies.
Yeah.
If you had babies on Earth and they die, do they now have just another brother?
Yeah, they get more siblings.
Oh, that'd be kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I didn't ask for you. I guess you never do. But
like, what the, you're not even a real kid.
Yeah, you didn't
I feel
hang
like
out
it,
with me
it,
on Earth.
Yeah.
So that's a fun family dynamic now.
I feel like they would feel like half sisters, you know, half brothers.
Yeah, it would have to feel like that, I would assume.
Or, it's like, what, we weren't good enough? You didn't just want to like wait for a couple, like 30 years?
Yeah, why did you wait for me? We could have been a big happy family again.
Yeah. You replaced me, basically? You just wanted to restart to have babies?
Well, no, they could just be like, well, we were young again. We're horn dogs, you know?
Because then if there's like another, like a third afterlife, and then those four kids die or whatever, then they can have more. And there's just like these I don't know how to.
Interterrestrial
generations.
Yeah.
You know?
Bizarre.
I feel like just it'd be really hard to keep track.
Yeah. It would get very fuzzy very quick.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyway, so, back to 6, sorry.
Yeah, so Golgotha, he was like Harry's killer. We never see his face, which I think is an interesting creative choice, like on Earth.
I really like how it looks, though. How it's just like black under this hood and then the eyes and
just
teeth
eyes
pop
and
out.
Mouth, yeah. So Bonnie and her dad show up to the Badlands to Golgotha's castle, and they're both there talking to him in front of like thousands of soldiers. Like they just brought themselves. And then Arimathea, the big lion dragon, goes to attack Bonnie, but then Bonnie's best friend, the fairy queen, shows up with all of her little fairies to help because she had a change of heart.
Right before that, before they get to the castle,
yeah,
there's a panel in this that is just like the trade cover.
Dude, I noticed that too, and I was like, wait.
I don't know if I like that or not. Like,
I'm like, spoilers. Is it like exact same?
It's not exactly the same.
It's pretty close,
looked like,
though.
It looked like it was redrawn, but like the...
Yeah, because she doesn't have like a gun. She has a gun in the trade thing, in like the trade cover, but she just has a sword. It's pretty close, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did notice that too, and I was like, okay. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
But I feel like this fairy queen lady, I forget what her name even is. Like Becky or some shit.
Some shit like that.
But she has like crazy powers. Like she just turns this scary lion dragon thing that we were supposed to be scared of this whole time into like flower petals.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it seems like you could have been super helpful from the start. You know?
If you just weren't a huge bitch.
Yeah. But Bonnie starts fighting Golgotha and she starts feeling like a little bit weird and she can't really use her powers too much. Golgotha starts drowning Bonnie in his like blood pool to be like the final person to be sacrificed before the portal can open. But Bonnie actually wakes up back on Earth after being resuscitated from her like coma that she was on after her stroke. And so she's like back on Earth and she starts saying to like her granddaughter, saying like, this is what was holding her back. And then she like immediately goes into cardiac arrest, killing her on Earth, but throws her back to the Badlands where she can then sneak up on Golgotha and kill him. And that, I think, is an interesting plot point. It explains why she doesn't have like her powers or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what a interesting like little twist.
So if you go into a coma in near death, you can go to this world.
Yeah. Or like if you die for like a couple of minutes, you know, and you still have the chance of being resuscitated, maybe you don't have everything yet.
It's crazy because like, it could have just like ended there if she like lived, you know?
Oh, I think that would have been so bad.
It would have been bad, but like I get she it was set up to where she's in like a world on Earth that, you know, she's ready to go,
mm-hmm.
you know? So even like seeing like her granddaughter and shit, she's like, nope, take me back. You know,
I think
and so she didn't seem very torn about this, about the situation.
She was pretty set on like, okay, I'm going to die right
she's
now.
She's like, oh no, fuck this.
And then she like
life. I don't think so.
She like starts her own cardiac arrest or something. Like maybe she's just so stressed like, out. Oop. She couldn't handle it, but
just holds her breath.
Her poor family. She's like, oh, we got Grammy back. And then she dies again.
She
doesn't even say goodbye or
she's
or
like,
anything.
I shouldn't be here. You know, that's kind of dark to hear from your grandparents.
Dude, I know.
That'd be
like,
scarring.
Like, make it like this opportunity to be like, I love you so much. Goodbye.
I'm sorry.
Stuff like that.
I have to go.
But literally, it's just...
Fuck out of here.
I shouldn't be here, Barbara. That's what she says.
Yeah, bold B.
This is what was holding me back. And then she dies, which, you know, it would have been nice.
Your life on Earth is holding you back?
Would have been nice to, like, say goodbye and be like, I love you.
Yeah.
Have a great life, you know.
I'm sure a lot of families would have liked that.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. But what was pretty cool about this was seeing Bonnie emerge from this pool of blood, all bloody and shit. That was sick.
Yeah, all, like, fucking Apocalypse Now. Looking.
Yeah, very cool. And then she, like, does a pretty big slice on Golgotha to, like, chop him.
Fucking filleted that dude.
So Bonnie goes to get Harry, who doesn't really know what to say. He's like, it was a little awkward. But Bonnie's like,
okay. He's like, oh, I was really hoping you'd lose.
I hope we didn't. You know, I was hoping it didn't come to this. But Bonnie's like, it's okay. I know about everything.
You slut.
And then Bonnie, what was her friend's name? I got to find it.
Estelle.
Estelle ends up dying from...
being fucking lit on fire.
Yeah, which I think what's really funny is like one of the fairies is like, she's badly hurt. She's burnt to a crisp, dude.
Yeah, dude, she's well done
she
right now.
She found out how to get fourth degree burns and like that's just all over her body.
Yeah.
But what's nice is that it seems like she ends up going to the heaven that she wanted to go to after she died.
Whatever's after this.
But it seems like, you know, what you would characterize heaven, because you're just going into like a white light and her husband's there or whatever, which is what she kind of wanted this whole time. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, like her, because she was like reunited with like her husband, which is like what she was kind of looking for
right
earlier and what she's kind of salty about.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a nice touch.
It is. Yeah. So she gets, you know, what she wanted. And then Bonnie brings Harry back to his new Adistria family and her dad's like, Nah, I didn't fuck with him anyway.
Yeah, like, we never really liked that guy.
And I was like,
like, that's like not trying, like, just make it seem like this is a good thing to happen. Yeah. It's probably pretty traumatizing for her.
But I mean, Bonnie seems pretty excited to just be a young woman again. And she now she has like all the riz in the war in Adistria.
Yeah.
To be like, I saved you guys and I'm a hot woman.
Yeah.
You know? A hot young 25-year-old woman with a period, you know?
Dude, like, there's this like petty little line that she says where they like return to that village or whatever. And mm-hmm. she's like, it's okay, Harry. You can go back to your little family.
Oh,
I'm
dude.
Like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
So
whoa.
Condescending.
This is so petty. Go back to your little family.
Yeah, your little family. Have a nice little life.
That's some shit Sarah would say. Like, if I did that.
But yeah, I think it's just, it's funny to have like the whole goal of the story is for Bonnie to be reunited with Harry, only for the end to be like, nah, I kind of sucked anyway, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. Either way, good book.
A couple of things.
Oh, Roy Boy has gold armor now because he's a good boy.
Oh, he's a golden boy.
Yeah, he's golden boy.
Okay, just a couple of things I want to mention.
Sure.
That I didn't mention in the moment.
Sure.
So Golgotha, when they're like fighting, he's got this like lightsaber thing.
Yes.
I'm like, that's cool.
It is cool.
Super dumb. I'm just rolling with it.
Not very necessary, but really cool for him. It's like a heated spear, I think.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And something that I thought was like a little disappointing, it's like, so it was set up probably because they're running out of pages or whatever, to where Bonnie and Dad go to the castle, right? Mm-hmm. Where there's this army.
Yep.
And they had to go alone.
Yep.
And so the army just like holds back and like doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so the only thing that the army has to do is fight Estelle. But I think...
And a bunch of fairies.
I think... Yeah, and fairies. I just think like a two... Like army battle would be like a little bit more satisfying.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's probably like a ton of work.
I feel like if Estelle like can pop in with a bunch of fairies, she could pop in with a bunch of Adistria people.
Yeah.
You know? And it would be at like, that point, I wouldn't question that.
Right. Maybe she can only teleport the fairies or something.
Mm-hmm.
So on page like 132, she's like, we're going to win, Dad. Don't even... countenance the idea of failure. Do you know that word?
Nope. I do remember. Don't even countenance the idea of failure. Let's see.
Yeah, look it up.
I read that and I was like, I think I know what that means, but it's just a fancy word.
I was like, that is a fake word.
countenance. There's like four different definitions. There's look, expression, or mental composure. I don't think it's that one.
No.
Bearing or expression that offers approval or sanction. I don't think it's that one.
It might be that.
Face. Visageth, face as an indication of mood, emotion, or character, or aspect, semblance, pretense. I think it's that one.
Okay. Yeah. So like
there's not like even assume. A semblance in my mind that we're gonna like lose this.
Yeah.
Too big of a word.
I feel like
don't appreciate it.
Word choice is important, you know.
Yeah. I mean, she was a teacher, Bonnie, as a.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's all I got. But there's a couple things here and there, you know.
Yeah. Overall, like, I think really bingeable book, really fun idea that gets fleshed out, like, fairly well. Has some interesting ideas. I think this is a valid book to, like, recommend to people, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Especially, I think it could be cool for, like, new readers.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
New comic readers, just to see, like, kind of...
What, like, a comic could do.
Could be, yeah, like, mm-hmm. the
without levels. It being, like, 50 issues or, like... Because I think you could read through all this in, like, an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, that's what I like about it.
For sure.
What would you rate this book, Daniel? What's like a fantasy food?
Fantasy food? I'd give it a pint of mead.
Okay, yeah.
Have you ever had mead?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't like it, but I mean, like, it's like fine, but mm-hmm. I like prefer beer, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I think if I was like in the setting, you know, like a medieval, mead. Like... At the Renaissance Fair or something, if they have mead, I don't know.
They do.
Mm-hmm. I'd fuck with that. You know?
They got ale and mead.
Nice.
But also just like Kilt Lifter. So it's like, I'll just do that, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
I would do, yeah, probably just like the same thing, but in like one of those horns.
Oh, okay. For sure.
Yeah. One of those like big horns and you can drink out of it.
Yeah.
That's what I would do it in.
Sweet.
Pretty good. So let's go into...
Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. Did you forget our segment?
I did. Well, I just remembered that we normally rate the book after Back Matter Matters, but whatever.
Yeah, you know, there's no rules here.
Yeah. So there's a
creator interview.
Yeah, and I read through it, and it's pretty fun. This is when Mark Miller was like, we're going to have five fucking books and a big TV show and a board game. It's going to be the biggest fucking thing you ever seen in your life.
I think they had this at the end of the last issue because yeah. I didn't reread it, but I remember them talking about it.
Yeah, and then it's a lot of Greg being like, I just had fun, man. Like, I didn't even really think about the designs that much, and I'm like, he's like the rock star of comics.
I was like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, I know.
He's just rocking out, dude. It's awesome. I like that, like, Jonathan Glapien and, like, Efko or...
Yeah.
Yeah, Efko. You know, they have a part in this as well. Because there's, like, good coloring and, like, there's aspects where, like, if you're...
They're, like, a art team that just kind of work on everything together, seems.
And that should be. That should be that way. Because they are such a consistent team.
I mean, I think teams are cool and all, but I also think, like, there should be, like, people mixing it up.
Like, I can't imagine Greg being colored by like Matt Wilson, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm cool with this. They've nailed a very particular look.
Yeah, and it like works together.
Yeah.
And so yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty much just some of that. We get some concept sketches by Greg of Bonnie, of some of the big characters, and then he's just like drawing like trolls and dragons and like weird shit.
Yeah.
Which I enjoy. Some Roy Boy designs, some Badlands creatures.
Then creator bios.
And then creator bios, which is where I found out that Greg did the cover art for those bands. Five Finger Death Punch, Korn, Disturbed.
Nice.
He also did the character designs for the Spawn HBO series. Did some World of Warcraft stuff, which is kind of cool.
Hmm.
And, I mean, I know enough about Mark Miller, so I don't think I read his. But
yeah.
Pretty cool.
So we got a... I guess this Mark Miller World checklist is a little bit smaller here, and this is one that we've read already. But this is suggested by Dinger. He suggested that for
Reborn.
Yeah, Reborn.
Yeah, shout out Dinger
for the Easter book.
Yes, and I want to just clarify. I was like, why is this Easter? Because I was trying to remember like an Easter scene in the book. Like I thought Bonnie died on like Easter or something. And I was trying to remember like.
That'd be so dumb.
I was like, what, were there eggs or like a big bunny somewhere? But no, it's just like Reborn in the name.
Yeah.
Totally works.
Gonna have to. Captain Carrot, I have to wait till next year.
Yeah. But great recommendation. Super good book.
Yeah. I remember this book fondly, but you know, I guess I've grown.
Yeah, I'm like
past it.
The exact opposite. I remember finishing it and I was like, okay, that was cool.
Yeah, but it is a good time, but it's just like I feel like there were some parts that were missing, you know.
Sure.
But anyway, like when Bonnie like first died in like the first issue, I remember like crying because I thought it just like hit so hard.
Really?
I don't know, just like how like death was like described and stuff and how like you feel like in your last moments.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was like kind of like touching at first.
Yeah, there's a lot of like very deep like prose from Mark about like just life and like thinking back about your life and stuff like that, especially in your final moments when you're like the most vulnerable. And I think he plays into that like super well. So I could see that.
Also, you know, on this read, I got like a little teared up from when she was like reunited with like her dad.
Yeah,
because that's like a cool, super cool moment.
Yeah,
because like imagine like you, the first thing you experience after death is like you're in a weird place,
but your dad's there.
But your dad's there,
and he's a cool axe warrior dude.
Yeah, he was sick. And
I also think that her dad like died from an unnatural cause too. Like, I can't remember if it was like a car crash or some shit, but that would have been like a super endearing moment as well to be like,
yeah, definitely.
You're still alive. And we can still like hanging out. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So let's get into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
We got this week.
Dude, I have so much in my box this week. Four books in my box that came out this week, Daniel.
No, that's not that much.
Green Lantern War Journal number 7. I thought that was going to be done. apparently it goes up to at least 10 because I saw it in solicitations, so I got to start it.
I thought you were caught up on that.
I mean, like, I'm going to have to reread it because I don't even remember what happens.
Oh, my God. So, don't you hate that? Should have came out like this last year.
I need to, like, I mean, I'm pretty much caught up on every other Green Lantern.
You got to lock in, Nathan.
I do have to lock in. Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong number 7 also came out.
Is it 7 or 6?
7.
So is that the last one?
I don't know. I'm going to keep reading it, though, as long as they put it in front of me.
I think it's 7.
World's Finest, number 25.
Yeah.
And then Man's Best was everything in my box. I pre-ordered that one.
Sick.
So I got that. That's the one I'm probably most excited about so far this year. By
pick up anything, Randy?
Piché Show and Jesse Lonergan. And
nice then pronunciation.
I picked up Dawn Runner.
Yeah, dude, the Ram V one.
Ram V, Evan Cagle.
Yeah, that looks cool.
It does look cool.
Like,
and I even flipped through the art to make sure I like really fuck with it. And I was
I was just gonna get it based off the cover.
Yeah, I've followed Evan Cagle for like a long time.
Has he done anything I would know?
He did Superman and the Authority. He did one of those issues, I think, with Grant Morrison.
I thought that was Michaela Jennin.
There was like points where it was like Mikhail Janine and like other artists.
Okay.
But he did one of the ones there. I want to say it was that one. Okay. And, but like I've followed him on Twitter for like a really long time. He did some other book too. But
nice.
Yeah. So really excited to read everything that I got.
You didn't get the DC April special?
I was already getting so much, dude. Weak. I was like, dude, I was looking at it. I was like, when am I going to read this?
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. But I did see that John Layman has one of the stories, and yeah, Phil Hester has one of the stories.
Oh,
and it's
dude,
a Detective Chimp story, and I'm like,
weak.
Fuck, dude, this would be really cool. So I don't know.
Anyway, I got some of those, and then Tenement number 10. Mm-hmm. And I should, you know, read any of the Bone Orchard Mythos stuff, but I have all of that. So
I'm sure you'd love it too, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure it's fucking sick. I got that. And also, Nathan, I got a...
You had a...
I got some shipments.
some shipments.
Nathan, I broke the seal. I went in.
Oh, God.
On something, a new habit, a new obsession.
Okay.
And I got my first graded book.
Yes.
Yes. Do you have any guesses?
Oh, fuck. I mean, give me a hint.
It's something that we've read on the show.
A graded book of a thing that we've read on the show.
It's a number one.
Wow.
It's a 9.8.
Is it like Venom?
No, that's very expensive, 9.8. The Raws aren't that bad.
Is it The Many Deaths of Layla Starr?
I didn't see that grade. It's actually not an expensive one.
Oh, okay. I don't know. What is it? What do we got? Is it 52?
No, fuck that.
That would be cool.
I got
Paper
Girls number one.
Wow.
And a nice 9.8.
Is that a variant or is that what it was? Is that the main cover?
They didn't have variants. Yeah, that's the main cover.
Wow, this is pretty.
Yeah, man.
Look at this.
You know, there was an auction for that.
Wow, this is sick.
And I lost because I forgot about it. And the guy beat me by like a dollar. I'm like, fuck, it was just between me and one other guy. So I got upset and they had this for just like $6 more. I'm like, I just want to get it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that was pretty cool.
Very nice. You don't have any other graded comics?
No, that was all of it. That's my first one.
Really?
Yeah.
You never gone to like Comic-Con and gotten a graded comic?
No, because everything's like very expensive and it's hard to find something that's like
you can find good
the
deals.
Right price. But like I'll definitely look a little bit more into
that. Teen Titans graded one I got wasn't too bad. And that's like probably my favorite one now.
What Teen Titans one?
The like George Perez, Marv Wolfman, like new Teen Titans. Like the one that everybody like knows, yeah, like that one. But I didn't get that one.
I also got like just some other stuff. It's some filler stuff that I was missing.
Okay.
Like, I didn't have like Big Game number 4.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dude, I got Weird Work number 1 since you let me borrow yours.
Okay.
But this is a Mike Allred variant.
Oh.
Isn't that sick?
Very cool.
Yeah. So
that, wait, that's fun.
I have the rest of it, and I saw that they also had
fun cover.
They also had a fucking Chad Moore.
Thank you.
I think there's a Chad Moore variant too of number one. I almost bought both of them.
You don't deserve that one.
I'm like, I don't need to.
You don't deserve that one. You can't even think about it.
Yeah. I got Sergeant Rock versus the Army of the Dead number four. I was missing that.
Okay, nice.
I was missing World Finance 13, Doom Patrol number six, Dark Ages number five. Ooh, and then this one came in stock, dude. The Deathstroke Annual number two, written by Phil Hester that I told you about.
Yeah, you like loved this one, didn't you?
Okay, so it might have like the reborn effect to where I remember reading it. I'm like, oh my God, you know, but like I just remember reading it and thought it was so sick. And
yeah.
I let someone borrow it and I haven't gotten it back.
Ooh, yikes.
And so, but yeah, written by Phil Hester. I don't know if you want to look at that.
Written and drawn?
No, just written.
That's cool.
And then I got a little something, Nathan, that you might not know about. I want you to just, this is
try
called
me.
The AmeriComic Special, Sentinels of Justice. It's like a very old book, but I want you to take a look at that, see if you notice anything.
It's got Blue Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, oh, AmeriComics, like the publisher.
Right.
So this is this is like the Watchmen team.
Yeah. That's like the Watchmen
team. This is what the Watchmen was based off of?
Yeah, it's like the team, like those characters. Yeah.
Very cool. Wow, you big nerd.
Yeah, I heard about it on like...
Yeah, there's The Question, too, before he was acquired by DC.
Right, yeah.
Very cool.
Nightshade and Captain Atom. And so, yeah, I heard about it on, like, the Cartoonist Kayfabe.
Mm-hmm.
The Ed Pisker, like, YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? That's a real thing? I didn't know that they were ever, like, in a book together, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, like, probably my oldest comic that I own, 1983.
Mm.
And do you want to do an unboxing video, Nathan?
That's a good haul.
I got my second haul, which is a different shipment of the trade sale.
Yeah, let me see what you got. Oh my God, that's a big box.
Came in two boxes, Nathan.
Jesus.
Speaking of Paper Girls, I got the Paper
Girls. Oh my God.
Compendium.
Lots of paper.
Yeah, tons of paper. Killed lots of trees here.
Is that everything?
That's everything.
Wow.
All 37 issues. And then I got
big
Invincible Compendium.
I'm going to have to borrow that from you. I've been thinking about just reading all of Invincible.
The first 47 issues.
That's further than I got.
I like have read it all and I'm like, and I've wanted those. Those have been in like my wish list for like years.
Dude, yeah. And that's a good thing to just have.
I need to immortalize it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And speaking of Invincible, I got Invincible Compendium
2. Let's go. Did you get all of it?
No, they didn't have the third one.
Oh, okay. Well, that one's at least probably the easiest one to get your hands on.
The second one?
The third compendium.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you ever decide to complete it, because there's only three, right?
Yeah, three compendiums.
Yeah.
I didn't get the hardcovers because like I don't really like reading hardcovers
when
they're that big. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paperbacks.
As long as you got everything.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right, here's box two.
Box two.
This one came with peanuts.
Okay, nice. Like, the comic?
No. That'd be sick. You ordered so much shit.
Imagine that's how they like do the filler. They fill it with peanuts comics.
You get a free peanut comic. I got Superman Space Age.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hardcover, dude. Yeah, dude.
Very cool. Man, you really fucked with that book, didn't you? That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I wanted a copy real bad because... I have number one, but I didn't get the rest of it, and then we read it digitally.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the graphic novel of Dune.
Wow.
That's based off of, like, the book. There's, like, three of these that make up, like, the first book of Dune.
Wow.
So I got the first one of that.
How old is that? That must have been...
2020?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's when the hardcover came out, or when the...
The hardcover.
Oh, okay.
And then I got the Black Hammer.
Oh, the library edition?
The library edition.
Yeah, dude. That's how I read, like, Black Hammer.
What a fantastic way to read.
Dude, I know. Yeah, my buddy at the time was... He, like, let me borrow the library edition. And it's such a great way to read
And it's Black fucking Hammer. Big.
It is.
I love the oversized shit.
It is huge.
It's sick. So this is, like, the first run that, in, like, the annual.
Man, what a tasty haul this has been so far.
Oh, yeah. And then I got the second one.
Let's go. That's awesome.
Yeah. So this is like the...
So it's everything,
This
huh?
is the Age of Doom. And then the Cthulhuis one-shot. And then the World of Black Hammer one-shot thing. The encyclopedia that they have.
Wait, all of the World of Black Hammer ones?
So this is the Age of Doom, and then they have like, they had this like one shot thing that was kind of like an encyclopedia that explains the world, and then that's in this. Got it. There's one more of these, and I think another one will come out
for the end or whatever,
like the end, and then Last Days of Black Hammer and stuff.
Black Hammer, man, that's awesome.
Just a lot of peanuts.
Let's go. Good haul.
Do you want to take a guess on how expensive, how much the omnibuses are, the hardcovers?
Everything there?
Yeah.
So you had two Invincible Compendiums, Paper Girls Compendiums, two Black Hammer Library Editions, Superman Space Age, and Dune.
Yeah, it's seven books.
Seven books. It was a pretty good sale.
30% off, yeah.
Oh, okay. It's not as big as I remember.
And then they're also like marked down from full price, you know, just because they're used.
I'm going to say like $250.
Good guess. It was $160.
Wow, that's a really good deal.
Yeah, I like couldn't say no. I was like fucking going through all my lists.
That's like barely $20 per each one.
Yeah,
or like a little bit more than $20 per each one
from My Comic Shop. Check it out.
That's awesome. So good haul.
I had a good fucking time.
Yeah, nice job.
Thanks, man.
I was gonna buy some shit too, and then I didn't realize it ended at 6. I know, at like a certain time of the day. I thought I had till midnight. I was gonna procrastinate.
Yeah, sorry, bro.
Very cool. Did you read anything this week? We had a pretty busy week because we were going to double record and then it didn't work out. But
what did I read? No, just like The Impending Blindness of Billy Scott. And I'm about halfway through that.
It's cool.
And then, yeah, I haven't read any like floppies.
Nice.
Oh, sorry. One more thing. So this is on Amazon because you can't really get it anywhere else. So you use copy of the Too Much Coffee Man omnibus. Have you ever heard of that?
I've never heard of
Mike
this.
Mike told me about this guy. It's this Dark Horse thing, and I don't really know what he's about. But
well, it's a black and white book.
Yeah, it's black and white, and I guess he gets powers from drinking too much coffee. I don't know.
Wait, and that's cool.
He looks like something that'd be in like a newspaper. And I actually like looked it up. The writer of that, Shannon Wheeler, he has like the first run of that. He like reprinted them and they're on like his Etsy. And so like, if we ever want to review that, you can get a copy too. That one
I love his style.
Yeah. And so that just happens to be a couple of the Too Much Coffee Man runs.
Yeah.
And then you can also get it digitally on his Etsy too.
Wait, this is crazy. This feels like very, Adult Swim almost. You know what I mean? Like, look how.
Yeah. Isn't it like neat?
It's like very intense, but like a little bit silly at the same time.
So Mike is a seasoned reader. He's an old timey comic fan.
Yeah,
and I always ask him for recommendations, and he doesn't tell me much. But that was like one of them.
This looks awesome.
And so I was like, I love the name, and yeah, the art just seems like really cool.
This is like such a sick cover too. It's so bold.
Yeah, you know? He's just sitting in some coffee,
is his hat always like a coffee mug on top?
It's like a part of his head, I think.
Oh shit. This is cool. I can't wait until we're old enough to give random ass recommendations to people. That
I'll just be like, dude, read Invincible.
No, people will know what that is. We'll have to be like, fucking read The Beef, you know.
Yeah, The Beef. You just don't get it, man. Yeah. It was Gandhi.
Dude, I was thinking about The Beef this week because of the next thing we're going to read. This is kind of like informational as well. And I was like, the only thing I've ever read even really close to this is The Beef. And
that's hilarious.
The Beef is like not even close to what we were reading. So
yeah. Did you watch anything?
There's the Invincible episode, but I also watched like half of Ricky Stenicki.
Oh, Sarah wanted to watch that.
I fell asleep while I was watching it because it was like super late, but it's pretty good so far.
Yeah, I heard like it's not like great, but you know, it's good to see like comedies. Did you see and it? Stuff. Ricky Stenicki?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I thought you had.
No.
Oh, it's great. I think everybody in it's like super funny.
I'll probably watch it this weekend because Sarah really, she like brought it up like again, like today.
Yeah. I think it's very funny, and it like at the beginning, like once you're like past pretty much like the first act, you're like, okay, I think I know like pretty much what this is going to be. Like it's like not a super unique structure. And then they kind of subvert that a little bit, and it changes into something like,
yeah,
different. And I really appreciate that like aspect of it.
Cool.
But John Cena,
goat,
top tier comedy in this one.
Yeah.
I really like seeing Andrew Santino and stuff. I think he's pretty funny.
Yeah. Good for him.
So this is like probably the biggest thing he's been in as far as like other actors that he's like acting with. Cause it's like Zac Efron, and John Cena, and there's like, who's the dude that leads all the Comedy Central roasts, the bald one now?
Jeff Ross?
Yeah, he's in it.
Huh.
Very funny situations in this in the movie so far. So okay. I'll probably finish it. We can talk about it next week. But
sweet.
Did you watch the Invincible episode?
I did.
Pretty cool.
Dude, my favorite part was when the Optimus Prime guy, spoilers, mm-hmm. the Optimus Prime guy, he's like, admits to Alan, he's like, I turned off your machine. And then he's like, something about like they needing to know a Viltrumite, mm-hmm. and he rips off his beard.
Like he's fucking Perry the Platypus.
And then there's a mustache. I'm like, Viltrumite! And I'm like, you got a fake beard or did you just rip off your beard?
I was wondering about that too.
He probably just ripped off the beard, but it was just really funny that...
Because they could grow beards.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think it's a requirement to have a mustache, but apparently he thinks it is.
I think it is.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, I when that happened, I was like, how long has it been like that? So... I mean, this probably involves like comic book knowledge, but if Alan dies, there's a chance that he comes back to life, but stronger.
Yeah, he gets bigger.
He gets bigger.
Yeah, he actually looks kind of small, but with how he is in like the comics, he's fucking huge.
But there's a chance that he dies like for real.
Something like that.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That like part of the episode I thought was like very funny because he's like, oh. I'm going to get out of here. And he's like, oh, sorry. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. And he's like, oh, that looks expensive. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, you know, Mark comes back from space and he's like, hey, Amber, I had a crazy week. And then she's like, my grandfather died as well. So, you know, it probably doesn't feel as big as like, you know, what you saw in space. But that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like I like some of that aspect of it.
What was his brother's name?
Fucking... I can't remember. Did they give him a name?
He's got a name.
No, he's got a name.
I think they named him Oliver.
Oliver.
Yeah. It's so yeah, and good episode.
Yeah. They got some good Donald stuff in there.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, am I a fucking robot? And he's like, yes.
He's like, yeah, dude, we have two of you.
I think he's always been a robot. That's my theory.
No, because like he explained that when he exploded in that thing, they saved his brain.
Mm, yeah, true.
But I guess like if he was already a robot, his brain would already be protected.
Maybe he's anyway. Just lying. Yeah. He's like, I saved your brain. That's what the deal is.
That's possible. Cecil dies a lot.
Yeah. Donald or Cecil?
Cecil.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Then a lot of the Guardians of the Globe died in the lizard thing.
Yeah. A lot of sick. They're half of the teen teams in space doing Sequid stuff. And then.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Serpent. What? Serpent Society or something like that?
Serpent Squad. Or Serpent something. Squad. I don't know. Serpent Society seems right.
I didn't think of them as, you know, big threats, but when it's like only three or four of them fighting.
I was really hoping that the little girl would like, when she got eaten, she would expand and rip through the guy's neck. But
I think
he
that
didn't.
Was her plan.
Yeah, but
and it
too
didn't
strong.
Work out. And I'm like, okay, just go back small, right? Like yeah. You're suffocating in there. I don't,
right.
But I
and
think
you're probably
like,
breaking every bone in your body.
I think he like bites down or something. That was just brutal. Like that whole thing. And like the way that Duplicate died.
Yeah, and she's like running around like, get away!
Like, oh my, she's trying so desperately to get away, and then she got smashed between the other Duplicate, and you could see her eyes popping out and shit. It's like,
yeah,
ugh.
That was a good one.
Dude, and then Rexplode, you know, in a bad situation as well.
Loses a hand. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Did that happen in the comic? He loses a hand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, you don't really think about it a lot. It doesn't mm-hmm. come up a lot, so it is very faint.
Right.
But...
And
every time some crazy shit happens, she's like, that happened in the comics. I'm like, yes, all of this happened in the comics. Like, this is very,
all
very,
the big crazy.
It's
shit.
A very true show,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, I'm definitely at the point now where I haven't seen this. So,
did you have fun. Ads?
Yeah,
yeah. So,
Amazon has ads now. It's fucked up.
I heard some shit that they like purposefully had the second season delayed
so they could have ads,
so that when Amazon rolled out ads, when this big show is on. People will be getting ads while they watch it, you know. Mm. I'm like, that's fucked.
You fucking Robert Kirkman.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, it probably wasn't even his decision or
so
his
I
call,
heard
but...
about that before this episode came out, and I just went ahead and like upgraded to like no ads.
Dude, I'm already paying like $120 for
subscriptions
or whatever it is for no just Amazon for Prime. Isn't it like $120 or something? Or
oh, like
bucks?
A year?
Yeah, for the year.
Yeah, something like that. So, I think it was like $8. And then it's like $3 extra for no ads.
A month?
Yeah. Because like I'm already paying for Prime for like the shipping, you know?
Yeah.
And so it, essentially the Prime Video is like $3. If you think about it,
are such a sheep.
I'm just like, I'm not fucking with it. Like,
yeah,
that's less than a comic, dude.
It is,
and I buy like 5 of those a week.
It is just so invasive. But yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked. Hopefully.
I mean, it's not going away, so I might as well just do it. But yeah, good Invincible episode. I'm excited for the rest.
Yeah. I watched a movie called Old Boy. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
It's like a Korean like revenge film.
No.
No? Well, it was also remade in America with like Josh Brolin.
Yes.
But I watched the Korean version.
Okay.
It recently just had like its 20th anniversary.
Oh, okay.
And it was in theaters for a bit, but I missed that. And it was like a movie that was like impossible to like stream, and you basically had to like order it and get like a physical copy to watch it. But like a couple weeks ago, it just was put on Netflix.
Oh, nice.
And you know, Sarah made the mistake of, you know, let me choose a movie, and I'm like, here we go. So we're watching like a Korean movie.
A foreign film. Yeah foreign Korean film.
And this movie was fucking crazy.
Really?
And
action movie.
Yeah, it's like an action movie. And it's like kind of like a psychological thriller kind of thing. And there was so much to this movie. It was, you're able to follow it, right? But like, I couldn't even like explain to you the plot because of how much went into this and how like some of the twists and stuff like that, and just all the like components that added to it for it all to like make sense and come to this big climax at the end and whatnot.
Right.
And it was crazy, and I recommend it. Cautiously.
Okay.
It's not for, you have to be kind of like open-minded, I guess. It's like, there's like some weird stuff, some like weird decisions.
Okay.
And there's some like gross stuff, but you know, like it's like a foreign film, you know?
Okay.
But you will not guess the twist, you know?
And that's so good.
But yeah, it's good. And so I'd like to spoil it for you, but I like couldn't.
Because you don't understand what happens?
I understand it, but like I'll miss stuff and it wouldn't make sense to you.
It's better with the context or whatever. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
that's cool.
Yeah, if you get a chance. It's like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Did Sarah like it?
I don't think so. But she watched it and she wasn't like on her phone like a lot.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it's based off like a manga, but like they changed a lot in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I might read the manga. I don't know.
Very cool.
Anyway, did you watch anything else?
No, but I started Psychonauts 2, which is a video game.
Okay.
Pretty good. I played Psychonauts 1 like a super long time ago, but it's like a adventure game about a dude named Rex.
John Rex.
Hold on.
Rexaplex.
Sorry, it's Raz.
Raz?
For Rasputin. But basically, it's like this dude like joins this team called the Psychonauts, who have the ability to like go and jump into like people's minds and understand like their psychology, and they have to like, you know, fight their way out of some situations. But it's the second game. I like it because it's like very creative, because you have to fight like people's regrets and people's like insecurities. But there's also, if the art style feels like a prime like Nickelodeon TV show like in the 90s, and that's part of like what I like about it. And like
compared
a lot of
what? Like Hey Arnold?
Yeah, kind of like stuff like that, or just like some almost like Invader Zim type stuff as
well. For sure.
So like here's just like some of the characters that are like designed, and so they're just like very funky and like a little bit, I don't really know how to explain it, but
yeah,
it's pretty fun.
More
so
like
far.
2000s like animation that isn't like Disney.
Yeah, it'd be like if Tim Burton did some like Nickelodeon shit. That's what I would put it as.
That's a good one.
And it's just like a very creative game, I would say, just because of how trippy the concept is in general. And it's like just pretty fun gameplay. So I'm very like early stages into it, because I played it for only for like an hour and stuff, and I'm just mainly getting through the tutorial. But it's a good game.
So it's a single player.
It's a single player like adventure
campaign kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. First one's great. And
so you
like
the first
Raz
one?
Like loves comics, and he wants to join like the Psychonauts because of like what he's read about them in the comics.
Oh, for sure.
And so he's like always carrying around like these comics, and when he sees something, you know, as he's like joining the Psychonauts, he's like, "Oh, that's like in Tales of Whatever issue 145 and stuff." And I'm like, I fuck with this guy. I forgot about that aspect in general because I wasn't reading comics when I first played the first game, but
I've never heard of that. That's cool.
It's really good. So I will play more of it and tell you how it goes, but pretty cool.
Nathan, what are we reading next week?
What are we gonna read next week?
Is it the beer one? Is that what's slated for next week?
Yeah, I'll probably edit the beer one first. But what are we gonna what else are we gonna read next week?
Do we have anything that we're supposed to be reading after that?
You know, Nathan, Godzilla comes out.
We again? Could read
a Godzilla comic. Yeah.
Wait, the Godzilla Kong one?
Godzilla X Kong.
Holy shit.
The new
shit.
Empire or the
I feel like we just read Godzilla.
We sure did.
Okay, what Godzilla are we gonna read?
I suggest Godzilla versus the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Whoa. That's so funny you say that, because I was going to suggest we read the Dan Mora Power Rangers book.
I don't think that's a thing, because we haven't found it, but...
It is a thing.
Next best thing, like, because I do want to read, like, normal Power Rangers.
Yeah.
But just because Godzilla's coming out...
So what is it called? Just Godzilla Power Rangers?
Versus Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, yeah. You down, or are you not down? You just got to say you're not down, and we don't have to read it.
I don't think so.
Okay, maybe next Godzilla movie. There's also the Civil War movie
mm-hmm.
that's coming out.
So what, you want to read Civil War?
Civil War.
We just read a Mark Miller book.
That's true.
I was just gonna suggest, like, either that Power Rangers run, or like Super Sons we could do, or like maybe like a Chip Zdarsky Daredevil perhaps would be fun.
So we could do Go-Go Power Rangers or Super Sons. What do you prefer?
Oh, fuck. You're going to hit me with that?
Yeah.
I haven't read Super Sons.
Since it came out.
And it's supposed to be... I don't think I've... Did I read it? I think I did. But it's got Jorge Jimenez. And I don't think we've done one of his books, have we?
No.
Let's do Super Sons.
Okay.
But I want to keep this Power Rangers in the back pocket. Because it's like become a pretty big comic.
Says who?
Dude, like lots of people. I mean, do you know how you saw how many fucking they had 100 issues?
Did they?
Yeah,
of Go-Go Power Rangers?
No, of Power Rangers stuff in general, like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers stuff.
Oh,
in general.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of that.
So I think you know, in the comics, you know, boom publishing world, it was pretty big.
Okay.
So eventually I want to read that, but I want to do Super Sons cuz that sounds cool. And I'm reading Sinister Sons.
that'll be a nice you know, edition.
So yeah, Super Sons, When I Grow Up. Like Sick. Pussycat Dolls.
The Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah, just like that.
Sweet. Super Sons.
Let's do it.
One of these next 2 weeks, we also got the comic book history or comic book story of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be cool.
Yeah.
And thanks everyone for watching. Thanks for listening. Check out the link tree in the bio. Like, comment, subscribe, stuff like that. Watch this podcast. You can watch the video, see our faces and some of the panels.
Tell us if Godzilla Power Rangers crossover is good shit.
Yeah, and tell Nathan to read it. You can email us at trainwearspod@gmail.com. Rate us 5 stars.
Yes.
And thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks, y'all.